Good morning. This morning we come to the last installment in our series on prayer, and it really is my prayer that having gone through about 8 weeks of studies on prayer, that we would be changed. That we would be people who not just pray more, but pray more effectively, pray more intelligently, pray more spiritually minded, pray the way God intended us to pray for the things that we ought to be praying for. And this morning, as we conclude, we are going to take a look at probably the most unique prayer in Scripture. Because this morning we are going to actually be a part of God praying. You know, Jesus, when he came to earth, he left heaven, which we're going to celebrate at Christmas here in just a number of weeks. And God came to earth and took on human flesh. But in taking on human flesh, he didn't quit being God. He just took on full humanity to go with his full deity. And in John 17, we have an entire chapter which records Jesus praying. God prayed. And it's a powerful prayer. And I want us to experience it in a unique way this morning. I don't want us to rush through it. I don't want to breeze through it. I don't want to point by point break it down and tear it apart. I want us to experience Jesus and worship Jesus and enjoy Jesus as we listen to him pray. To that end, let's stand and let's read the first five verses as we get started this morning. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Let's read these aloud together. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." You may be seated. Jesus prayed. And in these opening five verses of the prayer that Jesus prayed, we see something very unique. Jesus prayed for himself. He prayed for himself, which is an interesting thing to step into, to wrestle with, because so often, why do we pray? We pray to express a need to God. We pray to worship God. We enter into that relational dynamic with God. And it would almost seem not right for Jesus to pray as we think of praying. But we've got to understand that when Jesus came down from heaven, Jesus took on 100% humanity minus the sin nature. Jesus wasn't a sinner. Jesus never sinned. Jesus did not have that sinful flesh with him. But by taking on humanity, he placed himself into a position of needing to be dependent upon the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so we see Jesus praying for himself. And what did Jesus pray? There's two things in these five verses, first five verses, that identified what Jesus prayed for himself. First and foremost, he prayed that God would be glorified. God would be glorified. He says, "Father," verse 1, "the hour has come, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." The Son may glorify you. His prayer for himself was that he would glorify the Father. And then, when he prayed for himself, he prayed that he would be vindicated and victorious. He would be vindicated and be victorious. Look at verse 4. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus recognized, as he was at this point in his life, that he was going to the cross. His ministry essentially with the disciples, with the world, in terms of his physically living there in his humanity and experience, was essentially over. He was going to the cross to do what he had come to earth to do. And he was praying, God, glorify me, vindicate me, do through me what I came to do. And here it is, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus was requesting, God, vindicate what I've done, vindicate my sinlessness, vindicate my life, vindicate my obedience to you by taking me to the cross, and then taking me back to my rightful place with you in eternity. And before we go any further into the prayer of Jesus, we're going to stop and pray. And I want us to pray like Jesus prayed. I want you to pray for yourself. And I want you to pray for yourself the way Jesus prayed for himself. Now, obviously, there's going to be a little difference because we're not Jesus. We're not the Son of God. We're not sinless. We don't have a rightful claim to glory like Jesus did. He didn't come to earth with... We don't have a purpose here on earth the same that was Jesus' purpose was on earth. But we can pray in the same vein that Jesus prayed. And what does that look like? Well, it's to make his glory... Steve, is there still music going on in the system? Okay, thanks. Yeah, hey, you know something? I'm getting that point in life where it's voices and music in my head is a normal thing, so let's not mess with that. First and foremost, what did Jesus ask for? That God would be glorified through him. When we go and we pray right now, make that our prayer. Make that your prayer. God, be glorified in me. Whatever your context is, wherever God has placed you, the family God's placed you in, the school God's placed you in, the community God's placed you in, the context of your life is different than anybody else's context in this room. Even if you live within the same house with people in this room, your context is different. And our focus needs to be that God would be glorified in us through who he has made us to be in the context of which he's placed us. When we go to pray, pray that God would be glorified in your life. And then ask God to redeem your service to him. God, what I've done for you, do something with it. Please don't let it be wasted. The time I've spent with this person, or the time I've spent doing this task, the time I've spent... Please, God, please make it bear fruit. Make it fruitful. Because, let's be honest, there's times where we do things and we're like, my heart is right. I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing this and I'm offering this to God the best I possibly can. And sometimes it seems like it doesn't matter. Because we don't see it. But we give it to God by saying, God, I've served you in this way. God, I don't see the fruit, but God, please bear fruit in it. Please do something with what I've given you. You know, the story of the widow's mite where, and it's then that, it's a financial thing where the widow put in her last 2 sub cents into the offering, and then this rich person just dumped in huge bags of money into the offering at the temple. And Jesus said, "You see that woman who gave almost nothing? She gave way more than that guy because she gave what she had." Sometimes it feels like what we have to offer to the Lord, it's meaningless and minuscule compared to what that person gives. Not financially, but in service. And sometimes you feel like, it doesn't matter. My life, my influence, my relationships, nobody knows me. Nobody cares about me. It doesn't matter. God cares about what your 2 mites are, your 2 cents worth that you give for His kingdom. He cares about that. Ask Him to do something significant with whatever you've given. And then ask God to bless your obedience. I've said it before. I've heard people say, I did it all right, and look what happened. I did it all right, and things still fall apart. Well, it never really truly falls apart from an eternity perspective when we do what's right. But it's good to say, God, I have obeyed you. I've obeyed you the best I possibly can. God, bless that obedience. Jesus did. Jesus prayed that God would take His offering and He would save people. He obeyed God to the point of the cross, and He entrusted that to God. And He entrusted His future to going back to be with God. And basically, He was saying in a Son of God way that we can't get, but in the same vein, we can say, God, bear fruit in what I've done. God, bless how I've obeyed. Let's go before the Lord right now before we go any further, and let's pray those things. And I'll leave them on the screen there just so you can, as you're praying, you can be mindful of those things. Ask God to be glorified. Ask God to redeem your service. And ask God to bless your obedience to Him. And usually we say, hey, pray with the people around you if you want to. Let's make this personal. Just you and God. Spend some time with Him and pray these things. God, glorify yourself in the life that you've given us, God. Lord, we each have burdens. we each have trials in our life. Lord, we have brokenness. Lord, we ask that in all of that, that you would bring glory to yourself through us. Through our trials, through our brokenness, through our pain. God, through the people around us, in the people around us, God, that you would glorify yourself through us. God, when it comes down to it, we have nothing that's worthy of you. We have nothing truly to offer you. But God, we give you what we have, and we do ask that your light would shine brightly through it. God, we do ask that our ministry, the things that we do in your name, the things that we do to serve you, bear fruit in them, Lord. Even if nobody sees them and nobody gives us honor, nobody gives us appreciation, God, I pray that we trust that you see it. And that those acts of service are not lost on you. That God, in your omniscience, You know it all. In your omnipresence, you see it all. And in your omnipotence, you can manage it all and you can bless it all. God, we ask that you would hold those things that we do that maybe are so insignificant to the world or completely insignificant in comparison humanly to other people. But God, that you would take and you would do something significant with what we give you. And God, As I pray and I think through my obedience, my first response is, God, why would you bless me? My obedience is just what should be expected. It's any obedience that I give, it's nothing special. It's the bottom line, baseline of what my relationship with you should be about, is just doing what you say. But God, I ask that you would bless us for our obedience, God. for those times, the things that we trust you to do what you say, even God, when it doesn't feel right, look right, seem right. But God, we just do what your word says because we know that's what you want. God, I ask that you would bless that in our lives. Lord, we come before you knowing that we don't deserve any of this. Knowing, God, that we have truly nothing worthy of you to offer. But God, we give you what we got. And we ask that you would do something above and beyond anything that we can ever dream or think of, God, with us. In your name we pray. Amen. Yes, Jesus prayed. And Jesus prayed for himself, but don't miss this. Jesus prayed for me. And Jesus prayed for you. And he speaks that clearly. Look at John 17, verse 20. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, that these would be the 12 disciples, but for those who would believe in me through their word. In these final moments of Jesus' life, when he was carrying on himself the weight of what was coming on the cross, where he was going to take upon himself the sin of the world, where he knew he was going to be suffering the full wrath of God for sin, the burden of which caused him, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, to break out and sweat great drops of blood. The stress and the anguish was so much. In those moments, Jesus looked beyond just his close associates and he prayed for me. He prayed for you. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, but one day you will, he prayed for you too. That's a ridiculously overwhelming thought, that in that moment, everybody who had ever come to faith was able to go through the mind of Jesus. And Jesus was mindful of us. He was mindful of me. He was mindful of those who he was going to the cross to suffer and die for. And so what I want us to do, and normally as we did to start the service, we would stand and we would all read together. I don't want to do that. What I want you to do, and Steve, you don't have to worry about turning out the lights. It's light enough, it won't matter, so it's all cool. I'm just going to read the rest of Jesus' prayer. The words aren't going to be on the screen. I want us just to listen. Listen to the prayer that Jesus prayed for you. And the prayer that Jesus prayed for me. And here's the thing. God answers prayer. God answers prayer that's offered in his name. And God answers prayer that's in accordance with his will. Now, I'm thinking, just bear with me here a little bit, crazy thought. I'm thinking that when Jesus prayed, he was in perfect alignment with the will of God. Yay? Amen? Yes? Uh-huh. Absolutely. I'm thinking that the prayer that Jesus prayed is one that has zero opportunity to not be answered. The Son of God was asking the Father to do something for us. And so what he prays, and we're going to break it down a little bit after we read the prayer, there is no chance that this prayer is not effective for you. And what Jesus asks for is you are completely safe in. And you're completely safe that what Jesus asked for will be accomplished. There's no chance that God is not providing what Jesus asked for on our behalf. There's no chance that it's not available to us or not effective for us. And so as we listen to Jesus pray, listen to Him pray for you. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you've given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I've given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus' prayer for us. And what was that prayer? Well, it's a prayer that we would be kept safe. Look at verse 11. I am no longer in the world, yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. Keep them in your name. Jesus prayed for the eternal security of those who would come to faith. That is so critical that we understand that the death that Jesus died on the cross, the forgiveness of sin that is offered, the new life that we have in Jesus, he prayed to the Father, keep that safe. There is nothing that you and I can do in this life that can take us out of the hand of God. The very first thing he prayed for was our eternal security. Jesus asked that our lives would be held so tightly that we could never get away from the Father. We need to know, because there are people, maybe you, forget it. We all, we're honest. There's every single one of us have things in our life we're like, I don't want anybody to know about that. Devil constantly brings to mind this. Or I know who I am and I have to constantly go, wait, I can't be saved? I really can't. I can't be one of God's the devil wants us to doubt the forgiveness that's offered in Christ and that security that we have. When we know Jesus, our eternity is perfectly 100% secure. Jesus prayed to assure that. He prayed for me. He prayed for me that God would hold me tight. I read through this a number of times this week, and it was a little overwhelming, but it's really catching me right now, because he prayed that nothing in my life would separate me from God's love. And I can stand here and know that I'm secure because Jesus prayed, Father, keep Dan safe for all eternity. He also prayed, look at verse 13, that we would have joy. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Do you ever get to the point where you just go, man, life sucks? It really does. There's never a part of life where we're not faced with something like, this is awful. I mean, being a child has its challenges. Being a teenager has its challenges. Being a young adult has its challenges. Let me tell you, for those who have not gotten old yet, getting old is really a pain, okay? It really has people going, preach it, brother. It is. You can look at your life right now and you can probably make a whole list of things where you're like, man, life is awful. It's painful. It's frustrating. It's disappointing. But Jesus prayed that his joy would be made full in us. The prayer is that no matter what we go through, no matter what context we find ourselves in, we can have joy. We can have that security and that settledness of being able to rejoice the way David rejoiced in Psalm 13 when his emotions told him, God, how long are you going to forget me, God? Are you going to forget me forever? And then at the very end of Psalm 13, he goes, but I praise the God of my salvation. Whatever it was making David think that God had forgotten him. And by the way, a little freebie here. David wasn't just saying, God, you forgot about me personally. It was the context of, God, have you forgotten the covenant that you made with me? I imagine at some point after God promised and anointed David that he'd be the king whose throne would last forever, as he was hiding in caves and Saul was seeking him out to kill him, at some point he had to be going, hey, God, this whole blessing of being a king thing, it's running out of fun really fast. Because right now, the only kingdom I have is this cave. And that guy's trying to kill me, and someday he's probably going to be successful. And God, this is not really what I had anticipated. And is not that the way we can feel sometimes? But David said, in the midst of the depth of the darkness of a cave, he said, but God, I praise you for the salvation. And the context is for the salvation that I know will come. Because no matter what I see, no matter what I feel, No matter what the eye test says, God made a promise. And He made a promise to save me and redeem me. And that gives me a joy that looks past the pain right now and looks to an eternity that says, God, all this is going to go away and it's going to be okay. And so, God, no matter what it is I'm facing, I will praise You. Or as James says, I will consider it all joy when I encounter various trials. Jesus prayed. Think about what it is that's making you struggle to have joy right now. Jesus prayed for you in that to have joy. He also prayed, and this is an interesting one. Look at verse 15. He prayed to keep us in the world. I do not ask You to take them out of the world. Sometimes it seems like the best thing would be, God, remove me from the situation. God, get me away from these sinful people. These people are ridiculous. You don't know what it's like trying to live with these people, to work with these people. I have these people around me. It's constantly bombarding me with their hatred of You, God. And Jesus prayed for you. God, keep them there. Keep them there. Because to take us out of the world prevents us from fulfilling what God has kept us in the world to do. He prayed that He would keep us here. But in that, look at verse 15, He prayed that we would be protected. I do not ask You to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Here's the thing. People, our eternity is safe. Jesus prayed that security for you. And we could get into all the theological implications of why His death on the cross was enough to pay for it all, cover it all. But He prayed for you that you'd be kept safe in eternity. But He also prayed that you'd be kept safe now. And He prayed that in the midst of being in the world that beats upon your soul, that beats upon your emotions, that beats upon your mind, He's prayed that you would be kept safe and protected from Satan. Satan cannot touch you. Satan cannot do anything to you. He can influence you, and you can direct your will toward to believing what he says and the lies he says and give in to the fear. But Jesus has provided everything for you to go on. You know something? No, I don't need to give in to that sin. I don't need to stop. I don't need to quit believing. I don't need to give up on Jesus. I don't need to quit doing what is right. Because what did Peter write in 2 Peter chapter 1? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence. Jesus prayed that in the midst of the world of which you would be placed, Jesus knows your family. Jesus knows the people you work with. Jesus knows the people you go to school with. Jesus knew before the foundation of the world what the sinful context around you was going to be. He knew that there was going to be the internet. Jesus knew that there was going to be unscrupulous people. Jesus knew there was going to be people who would cheat and betray you and lie to you. And He prayed, God, protect them from the temptations that Satan's going to bring their way. And you are protected. And what that means is that when that comes, I can say, no, I don't have to give in. I don't have to do what I know is wrong. I can stand strong because God has equipped me and Jesus prayed for me. He prayed that we would eternally be kept safe. He prayed that we would have a complete joy. He prayed to keep us in the world. He prayed to keep us protected from the evil one. And He prayed that we would be set apart unto God's word. Verse 17. He said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As You sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. To be sanctified, it's a very religious sounding Christian term. To be sanctified literally means to be set apart. To be set apart. And to be set apart in this context means to be set apart from the world and set apart to God through His Word. He prayed for us that we would set ourselves apart into His Word. He's provided us His Word. He's provided us His truth. He's provided us everything that we need to know for life and godliness. We just read that in 2 Peter chapter 1. And He prayed that you and I would do that. And you know what that tells me? It tells me that yes, it doesn't matter what your intelligence level is. It doesn't matter whether you're right-brained or left-brained, or to you, right-brained and left. No, left-brained and right-brained. There we go. I said to turn myself around. It doesn't matter who you are. God's Word is accessible, learnable, and understandable to you. And you may not be, no. I may not be able to learn it at the level at some scholar teaching in some seminary. That doesn't mean that I can't know it and submit my life to it and understand it enough for the context that God has given me. God doesn't expect us to be somebody else. God expects us to be us. And that means the level of your ability to function within His Word. No matter who you are, you can do it. Because Jesus prayed for you. And what it takes is what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, that we apply all diligence. Apply all diligence. Do your best. Do your best. You have your level of intelligence. You have your personality. Take that, do the best you can with it in learning God's Word, and He will bless that because He prayed for you in that. And then, look at verse 21 and 23. He prayed that we would be united together in Christ, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. The unity that he's praying for is not just unity, that I would be unified, me and Jesus. He's praying that we would be unified with each other. And there's some people who are believers that you go, no, I'm done with that person. Are you kidding me? Do you know what that person does? Do you know how they act? Do you know what they think? Do you know what they say? Do you know what they want? I can't do it. That person's just weird. Okay, we've said all of those things. You may not have said exactly I've said, but you may have said it more sophisticated than I do. That person's methodology is just not aligning with what is normative in my brain. Okay, whatever, all right? Dude, I like you. You laugh at the right times. Thanks, man. One of the greatest testimonies of the lack of commitment to Christ that's in our world, I don't know about the world, in the United States today, is how Christians like to tar and feather each other publicly. Jesus prayed for our unity together. Not that we're going to agree on everything. Not that we're all going to interpret the Bible exactly the same. Not that we're all going to suddenly become these gray, personality-less people. But that we would be united together, meaning we would be intent on the same purpose of bringing glory to God through Jesus Christ. And that person in your life that you're like, that person drives me crazy. I can't handle them. You can. You can love them the way Jesus loved them. You can love them the way Jesus loves you. I can do it. You know why? Because Jesus prayed for me. Dan, that person that annoys you beyond belief, guess what? I put them in your life. And guess what? You can love them. And you can be, and you can treat them the way I've treated you. Because I prayed for you. And I prayed that it would come to pass for you. And why did he do that? Why does he want unity amongst believers? That we truly love each other, that we're all intent on reaching the world with the gospel, that we're intent and committed, equally committed to God's word together and bringing glory to God together. Why? Look at what it says, verse 21. So that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus prayed that we would be a witness. The reason Jesus prayed, God, help them to get along. Help them to love each other the way you and I love each other. It's not so that we'll have a finely tuned machine that looks good, but so that we can reach the world for Christ. That's why he prayed that. And we can do it. Because Jesus prayed for it. And then lastly, verse 24. We would be with Jesus and see his glory. And it kind of finishes up in different language to where he started out. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus prayed once again that we would be with him in eternity. All these things, the struggle to have joy. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel guilty because I'm like, I don't want to have joy. Sometimes I don't have joy. Sometimes I don't even want to have joy. I don't want to have joy in that, God. It's a burden to me. It's a burden. I have to do this. It's a pain. God, I don't want to be in the world. God, I don't feel safe in the world. The influences that I'm bombarded with. I can shut off the radio. I can shut off the TV. I can shut off the internet. And guess what? I'm still bombarded by influence. And it stresses me out. And it causes my mind to wander. My heart to wander from you. God, it's hard to read your word. God, I don't understand it. Some of it I do, but some of it I don't. I mean, God, let's be real honest here. It's written in there. It's hard to understand. Peter talked about Paul. Just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. The Bible itself acknowledges that it can be a little challenging to understand. And sometimes, God, I just don't even want to read it. Because it's too much work. God, and obeying your word? I can't go a day. No, forget a day. It'd be great if I could go an hour without doing something. I went, well, that was stupid. And you know something? I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself the continual, God, please forgive me. Oh, God, I can't believe I thought that. Can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. It's exhausting. My God, I'm wearing out just confessing my sin to you. And then, God, we got to bring all this together. And everybody else, I'm sure everybody else is struggling with this too. And then we got to come together and we got to be you to each other. And then be a witness through it all? God, we can't do this. We can't measure up. We obviously, God, have not. We're not with you. He prays at the very end, God, I want them with me. As hard as all of those things are, as challenging as all of those things are, Jesus at the end once again said, God, keep us together. Get them to me. I want them with me in eternity. And so, Just as we started out, I want to finish in the same way. We need to pray for each other. Here's the thing. It's totally appropriate to pray for ourselves the way Jesus prayed for us. I mean, let's be real honest. Is there any better model for praying for yourself than the way Jesus prayed for us? I can't imagine. So we're going to take in some time here. Again, us and God. Not a group prayer, not the people around you. You and God. Let's pray. And we probably, if you're like me, you probably need to confess some of this. And go, God, boy, I just really been missing the boat on this one. You prayed for me that this would happen, and it seems like I've done everything possible to keep it from happening. Confess and seek. And the first thing is, pray to trust God. Trust that your eternity is safe, that your sins truly are forgiven. God, help me to believe that. And trust that I'm fully protected. That salvation can't be stripped away. That you provided me everything I need to be victorious over sin in my life. Devil can't touch me. The devil can't do anything to me. God, help me believe that. God, help me to have joy. Tell God what it is that you're struggling to have joy in right now. And say, God, help me to see how to have joy in that. Help me to have joy in the midst of it. Pray and ask Him to help you be committed to His Word. Ask Him to give you a desire to read and to learn and to understand His Word. Ask the Spirit to come into your mind, to open your mind's eyes so you can understand. Not to see hidden things. There's nothing hidden there. It's all plain. It's written in a normal human language using verbs, adverbs, nouns, adjectives, prepositions. And then you're going, see, you're totally losing me right there. I don't want to deal with all that. It's written in a way that you talk on a normal basis. You can get it. This way I see it. If I can understand the text that my wife sends me, what to get at the store, you can understand what God's Word says, and that has nothing to do with how my wife communicates. But it's the same process. Hey, hon, I didn't quite understand what that meant. Can you help me understand that? Oh, I get it now. Okay. It's God's Word. God gave it to you. You can read it. You can understand it. Pray that you would be unified with other Christians, that you would love them, that you would be intent on the same purpose. And I know you can think of people specific in your life like, ooh, that's a challenge. Pray for that relationship. And then pray to be a witness. Pray to be a witness wherever God has you. So let's go before the Lord, and we'll keep that slide up. So if you need to reference it while you're praying. Let's go and let's before Him and let's pray for ourselves the way Jesus prayed for us. Spend a little bit of time with Him. And then the worship team, after I close, the worship team will come back up and we'll worship some more through singing. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for praying for me. Of all the things that could have been, that were on your heart and on your mind, I have no business even dreaming of the fact that you would pray for me. But Jesus, you did. You prayed for each one of us. And God, I pray that we would be absolutely humbled by that. But God, I pray that we would be energized and invigorated by that. Lord, I do pray that you would help us to trust you. God, that we're safe. That you will bring to completion what you've started in us, God. From that moment of salvation, how our sins were forgiven and we were given new life in you, that Jesus, you will continue to faithfully shepherd us until the day of eternity when we step into your presence. God, I pray that we would trust that our eternity is safe, and I pray, God, that we would trust that our now is safe. The devil can't snatch us out of your hand. We can't snatch ourselves out of your hand, God. I pray, God, that would give us confidence and that would fill us with peace. God, I pray that whatever that situation is that is just dragging us down, God, not that we would expect you to make us happy in it. And God, we still have our emotions, we still have our grieving, we still have our sadness, we still have our frustration. But God, in that, I pray, God, that we would be overwhelmed with joy that you will redeem it, that you will make it worthwhile, and that we can trust you, that it's not going to overwhelm us, and that what we're suffering now, whatever it is, that nothing can compare to the glory that will be revealed to us in the future. Lord, I pray that we would learn to have joy in you. Not a fake joy, not the fake smile, but God, an honest and settled trust. Lord, I pray that we would have a desire to open your word, a desire to learn what you have to say to us. Lord, that we would be completely overwhelmed by what we find in your word, and it would bring excitement to us. That you would give us wisdom and understanding of what's going on in our world. You would give us an understanding of why we exist and how we are a significant player in your plan, God, of eternity. Lord, I pray that you would open our minds, open our hearts, God, to your word, to be drawn to it. Lord, help us to grow in our love and care for one another. God, that it's one of the greatest miracles that the church displays is that you take sinners from all manner and levels of sin, from all manner of culture, from all manner of upbringing, and you bring us together, united on one purpose, to glorify you through Jesus Christ. God, I pray that we would love each other. We would grow in that love. That we would not be content with the love that we have. But God, that we would grow in our love for one another. And Lord, I pray that you would make us a witness. God, as we learned, as we studied Acts seemingly forever ago, that you assured us that we would be your witnesses. God, make it so. Make us a witness. Make us one who testifies of your goodness and grace to those around us. By what we say, what we believe, but God, how we live. Please do that, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.